CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, let's go. All right. Are you ready to start the week? Good morning. It's the 6th of November. It's not a long way to go until the end of the year. It really isn't. Gonna rush at you now. Couple of weekends left, and then before you know it, it's Christmas, then it's New Year, and then you're in January, and you just, you know, forget about all the holidays and everything. So enjoy it while it's here. Savor this month. Make sure you take as much as you can out of it.
Yeah, if you work hard in November, your December's better. Everyone starts to go, oh, well, it's November, what's the point? But there is a point, Gareth.
No, there is. There is also, if you think you're going to get stuff done post the 15th of December, you're not. So, in other words, put in the effort now, and then you won't have to stress when everybody else is running around like headless chickens, and they're, oh, my God, there's only a week or two left of work. I can't do anything else. Then you're going to be sorted because you'll have ticked all the boxes.
15th of December is even a bit of a stretch. I think by the beginning of December.
You reckon people just start becoming lazy?
That's it.
Well, yes. Yeah, it kind of coincides with my birthday on the 2nd. Sort of just downhill from there.
Oh, is that the mark? Yeah.
Is that usually your mark, Ben?
No, I notice everyone around.
Ben, this is very different of you to be name-dropping your birthday every 2 seconds.
No, he's doing it all the time. He wants us to know. He thinks we need to know.
So this is a big one for you. You're really looking forward to this year.
It is. 36 is a milestone age.
Why? Because that the number of tomatoes in that tomatoes.
No, it's just that when you turn 18 in life, you're generally seen as an adult. So I'm a double adult.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to do maths there quickly. I was like, oh.
Okay. Well, like when you turn 18, you can legally drive. You can probably drink. And you can probably start family. I don't know what the rules are nowadays, but... I mean, I essentially will be a double adult.
Well, good for you. So, how was everybody's weekend? Anything fun to report?
Yeah, incredible. Start to finish. Had one of those amazing weekends.
It was, speaking of birthdays, it was Daniela's birthday on Saturday.
Yeah, so, you know, she works in Cape Town quite a lot, so I thought rather than just be the guy who sits here, so we went down for the weekend. Down to Cape Town.
Be the guy who sits here.
Yeah, I guess this relationship's like that, but not ours. And it was amazing, Gareth. We went to Valdivie for the pink polo. Which is, I'm so going to make this an annual event now.
Really? It's that good?
It's that good.
It's just a nice crowd of people, a good event?
Yeah, because it's not one of those huge events. So it's
quite select.
Relatively limited in numbers. The setting is just out of this world, amazing. And polo is cool because there's no pressure. It's just there.
Well, you know what's happened? I mean, I used to enjoy going to the horse races, not because of the racing, because nobody even knew which horses were going and when, but because it was a fun party and there were a lot of people and everybody dressed up and it was nice. It's become so trashy. It really has.
Exactly.
I wouldn't go to the J&B Met or the Durban July now if you paid me $100,000 to go.
Yeah.
It's that crap.
Really?
Well,
you might go for the money, but you wouldn't be able to last an hour.
It's just, it's suddenly become like, it's very run of the mill. You know, it's just crap. And events like this are still, I suppose, new ones that are on the up and up.
Well, Gareth, I think what it comes down to is just that we're older. When we're younger, we don't mind getting completely day drunk and messy. But now, in our more mature, refined years, we need something like the pink polo. This is our job.
Oh, I did not behave like a refined older person on Saturday. I went to this full moon party at the Grand Beach Cafe.
Uh huh.
There were girls with fire, and there was a dude who was suspended from a crane by his top knot. And he was dancing.
Excuse me?
This is what happens when you got no water. You go nuts.
People went nuts.
Wait,
it was
sorry.
Crazy.
I still have that visual. Okay. He was suspended.
All right, so imagine a crane. You know, the kind of thing you used
an
to hoist.
An actual construction
yes.
crane.
Yes, a crane. Okay. And this guy, he was tied up to the crane by his top knot on his head.
Was that an illusion or was it real? His actual hair.
I'll show you the video. It was his hair. It was no illusion. And he was wearing these lace pants with a G-string underneath. No, this is a real thing. You got to hear this. And no shirt. And he was dancing, but while he was suspended from a top knot. It was crazy.
What is this?
And then there were a bunch of girls they were painted, mm-hmm. so they weren't wearing any clothes, and they had like Red Indian headdresses on. Okay. And then there were other girls on the stage who were dancing with fire. They had like fire in on sticks and in hoops and in all kinds of things. It was pretty damn wild.
That is the oddest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people there that I haven't seen for ages as well. It was just nice. It was like everybody just pitched up in Cape Town. I suppose, like Ben says, can't stay at home and drink water, so they've got to
wear,
go out and find alcohol.
Be suspended from cranes
with
their top knots and wear lace.
I'll show you the
strings.
Video. It was fantastic. I'll put it on Instagram later.
That is...
No, it's fantastic.
So bizarre.
So, yeah, I had a very good time in Cape Town. And...
What happened to the good old days of people becoming werewolves and dancing to Thriller when the full moon came out?
This is just as crazy.
Okay.
And there was a full moon.
When did that
ever
happen, Joseph Jackson?
That only happened in 1983.
When you weren't even born.
In Michael Jackson's
music video. Yeah. How are you, Mubs? How was your weekend?
I work on weekends now, so...
What?
Yeah.
Work with an E or actual work? I know you could be working it, girl. You could be working them street.
Work with an E.
Yeah.
No, I don't work. I work.
Okay. Is that to clarify?
Or do you...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So no fun for you.
Mm-mm.
God, you really are adult. How about you? Anything fun happen, Amanda, on the East Rand?
Saturday was actually one of the best days of my life.
Oh, wow.
I went to
of your life.
The festival.
Where was this?
At this lucky state called Valborn.
What?
Yeah, in like Modafin scene. It's this huge event. Like this huge venue.
Yeah?
So they have a tequila festival there.
A tequila festival?
And it was great.
So what is everybody wearing? Sombreros and...
No, not even. Everyone's just eating like tacos, Corona, well, drinking Corona, and just tequila everywhere.
Oh, wow. Mm. Sounds like a good place.
And there's good bands that perform. And
I'd go to that.
Awesome.
What's this place called?
Well, the place is called Valborn Estate. But then it's called Tequila Festival.
Okay. Huh. Who'd you go with? Friends?
Yeah, I went with some friends, but then they left. And then I found some other friends, and then, yeah, it's just... crazy.
Everyone becomes friends when they have enough
tequila.
Tequila
brings everyone
together. Yeah, it makes everybody happy. That's the whole deal with that.
It started raining. That didn't stop no one.
No. Was it raining here every
weekend?
It rained in the East Rand, guys.
Oh, of course.
Different climate to everywhere else.
You know.
All right. Sia, anything fun for you?
Well, once in a while, I actually put my, you know, feathers... or my wings, rather, and I become a social butterfly in the true sense of the term.
Once in a while.
Once in a while, Mabali Muloi.
This is every second day of your life.
So this weekend was one of those. It started off on Friday night. I hosted a dinner party, and I invited some people over. And by the way, it is now 6:16 on Monday morning. I still have guests at my house.
What? They didn't leave from Friday?
I have two people who are still sleeping over at this hour.
Are they from out of town?
Yes, my cousin is, and my sister, no. She's just bumming around. So that was great. Then,
well, that's a hell of a party if you have leftovers until the Monday.
But you know, you look at your watch, you're like, hello now, hi, you know where the door is.
You seem to have to do that a lot, huh?
I don't think I should even open my doors at this point, because people never leave.
I think people take advantage of you, because you're such a generous guy, and I think they assume that you love having them around.
And very modestly, I will have to admit, I'm a great host. I cook for you, I will I'll accommodate you.
After a while, I just sit there and I say to people, well, go work tomorrow, it's going to be crazy.
Do you do the stretch and yawn?
I look at my watch. Are you kidding? I do all of that stuff. I chase them the hell out.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't like people to be too comfortable. That's why I also... No, really. I even have furniture in my house that is... There's one room where it's like comfortable. Mm-hmm. The rest of the house is mostly uncomfortable furniture on purpose.
So you put them everywhere there?
Well, Yeah, I mean, my TV room's probably the most comfortable of all.
Gareth, that's just because you're 70 years old, and that's just your taste.
That too. But I do like people to get a little uncomfortable and eventually get out. And you just stop serving food and drink at a certain point.
No. I even baked for them on Saturday afternoon. I was like, yes, what do you guys want?
Well, then I'm not going to leave if you keep feeding and nourishing me.
What did you bake?
I made some cappuccino muffins.
Wow.
Oh.
No, guys. Secret PCO wants the people there.
No, like, if you come over to my place, really, it's like a five-star treatment.
Is this your house husband in training
properly,
phase?
Properly. Because I treat everyone who comes in as someone
he
can go out and endorse me there.
Yeah, he reiterated it last week again. I asked him, so are you still hell-bent on this idea of becoming some rich guy's house husband? And he's like, yeah, that's my plan.
Yeah.
It's all he wants.
I didn't see that as shallow ambition.
This is why we've all got to go to the Polo next year, because there's some house husbands, like, talent down there. Huh?
Ben,
seriously.
Yes. Really. I'm
that's
just where
you should be looking.
This
is it. Next year, we're all going down.
You know, go to a golf course as well. I'm down for that. Yeah. I'm down.
That's where you find these people.
Then,
I'm here to help.
Saturday night, I went to Trevor Gumbi's show.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, the divorce tour.
Yeah. Firstly, only Trevor Gumbi can go through a divorce and go
and turn it into material.
Actually, yeah, let me get a whole show around this. And like, his ex-wife co-produced the show.
That's so weird.
Exactly. At first you go,
that's
what,
so mature.
Like, what is going on? And then when you walked into the venue, their kids were helping with the tickets. So I'm like, this is a true family affair. But I did not know what to expect. You walk in there and you're like, well, what's going to happen? And Trevor, in true Trevor Gumbi form, just let it all out there. He's like, well, listen, you've heard the news, you've read the headlines, but now I'm just going to tell you my truth, and that is, yes, I did cheat. Yes, we are divorced.
Aye, aye, aye.
But yes, my ex-wife and I still work together, and he just goes into detail around everything. He says, like, moving to the suburbs and having an ensuite bathroom led to the initial decline of their marriage.
Oh.
Because now ensuite bathrooms, the wife is closer, you get to hear when your partner is doing certain things in the bathroom. That was the first thing. And then he cheated with younger girls, and he goes through the entire challenge of having sex with a university student, he says, because their dorm room is tiny, and he's not exactly the tiniest person, and you have to just be very innovative.
Wow, so he really gets down.
Everything. Sure. And look, like, when you are at a public performance, or maybe, you know, some people went to John Legend over the weekend, you would hope for someone like John Legend to shout you out. It would be great if they're like, hey, Mabale, we see you. That would be amazing. Trevor Gumbi shouted me out in the worst context ever, because I was sitting sort of relatively to the front, so we made a lot of eye contact. He was speaking about the fact that...
sounds creepy, making eye contact with Trevor
Gumbi. No, it was just bad.
Do you remember what he used to do to Sia?
Yeah.
He'd pin you against the wall.
Every week when he
loved doing this.
I mean,
show.
It was basically sexual harassment.
Yeah, it was. You were Harvey Weinstein weekly.
He did.
Yeah, in any other company, this would have caused trouble. Not here.
Still nothing. You know, Mavale does this to me on a minor scale, and still nothing.
So what did he call you out on?
He was, telling this joke about how teenage boys were really most meaningful in his life, and we were all like, what? He goes like, no, but let me, you know, really truly define that. He says, you know, my character was formed properly in high school, and he goes on to like speak about like different things that happened to him in high school. Then he looks over at me, goes, but not in that way, right, Sia? Because you and teenage boys had a different sort of relationship. I was like, oh lord.
Oh,
now
shit.
Everyone turned around, looked at me.
No.
Usually I love me some attention, but in that context, I was just like, can the earth please just swallow me? Totally.
Did people kind of
Oh, yeah, because now people want to see, like, funny. Who is the CEO who loves teenage boys?
Yeah.
And he made the notes of just pointing right at me. So, yeah, that's Trevor Kumbi in a
nutshell.
What
a bastard move.
No. Were we expecting anything higher?
What's that all about?
From Trevor Kumbi?
No, it's true. You're
exactly.
Right.
Then last night I went and felt very ooh la la and extra juice. too many words for you. Then.
Yeah. Yes.
At the SA Style Awards.
Oh, you went?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I saw some pictures up on some of the people I know went to.
It was very awesome.
Instagram
actually.
Heaven. Because the Style Awards. Who is it that I follow? I'll tell you now.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget
Masinga was hosting the
She's
event.
There.
It was all at Diamond Walk in Sandton City.
Right.
Basitsana Khumalo was there.
Diamond
Walk,
those are the shops that no one can afford to go to.
Those
right?
are the shops we want to
Diamond
shop
Walk,
at.
Yes, sis.
Even the term itself.
Like, if you buy a belt at one of those shops, it means your bond goes up. That's how expensive
I can't
it is.
Even look at key rings from Diamond Walk just
no.
yet. So that's why we just attend events.
They
there.
Do it to ridicule us.
It's fabulous, though.
All right, so what were the Style Awards? Tell me about this.
SA Style Awards. So it's a couple of people who are winners, and it's in different categories. So it's like, you know, Rising Star and Most Stylish Media Personality and Most Stylish Musician. Mm-hmm. And they now even have like the Most Stylish Interior Designer, for example. So the likes of Tembe Samdoda won. She's a former Our Perfect Wedding presenter and Anela's sister as well.
She's very stylish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's awesome. Black Coffee won as a musician. Ayanda Tabete won. So it's this eclectic and awesome group. So
right.
that is the initial part of the evening because it's the ceremony. Then afterwards, you go over and you just schmooze and you booze and you dance the night away. So people almost forget that, like, hey, by the way, you have work on Monday morning, because I think we all left there at like midnight.
It's amazing you actually had time to host people and still bake for them after your weekend.
Look, once again,
you've done
I'm a man of many talents.
You clearly are.
So
you do it all.
My hopeful husband out there must see this and understand, like, listen, I can juggle a lot. So yeah, weekend done and dusted was very, very awesome. Very awesome.
That sounds damn fine. Mm-hmm. All right, well, all round then, a success, except for poor Mabali had to work.
Mm.
But I did wake up with like a shoulder thing today.
Oh, you must get a toddler to walk on you.
Is that the way to do it?
Apparently.
I know two. They're like my nephews, so I can get them to walk on me.
You must put them to work. It's time.
Really? Walk on you? That sounds very scientific.
It's bullshit, but I mean, it's an idea.
I was going to say something so horrible,
man.
Generalizing, but it's a toddler or a small Asian woman.
That's so racist, Sia.
I'm just putting it out there, though.
Hey, everybody was talking about this book of Jacques Poe's this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
It exploded. Ooh. So we've got to talk about that a little later
Saturday
on.
Saturday morning.
Yo.
It started.
Now, he's putting out messages saying, well, if you can't afford it, you can read the PDF, which is going around like wildfire. If you can afford it, please buy the book because we're going to need legal fees. We've got to fight, what is it, State Security Agency?
Mm. Oh. Them and SARS have teamed up. Tag team effect.
Yeah. is the book out in stores?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go buy it today.
No. No, everybody has to buy one.
Because I don't want it to become like the Mandela book where they recall it and it's off shelves and. But if it does become that, we at least have a copy in the office, so we'll find that.
Yeah, I've been reading it. I've been reading it. It opens, I mean, I won't spoil the book for you, but it opens up with this incredible, like, story about how his laptop gets stolen, then he's busy doing the book, and he's done so much of the work already, and his laptop goes.
Oh, right, yes, he did tell us.
Yeah, and then it ends with, like, how he thinks things are going to go. And then I see Crooked NDZ on the front page of the Sunday Times yesterday with cigarette sales, an illicit cigarette salesman.
Mm.
This is who's funding her campaign, apparently. Mm. You know, this is the woman who, our first health minister, and wanted to ban smoking because she realized smoking was bad for us, and she counts it as one of her singular achievements.
Mm, banning it in public spaces, right?
Yeah.
That was her
and
thing.
Tobacco advertising and all of that stuff. That was all her. And it was something she could be proud of, I suppose. Now that we find out that she's in bed with the illicit cigarette traders, that all goes to pot, right?
And how it works with politicians is that you get funded by these dodgies, you must then repay the dodgies. Yeah. So what's this country going to be living in if illicit cigarette salesmen are going to be due favors?
Now we must know what the rest of the who funds the rest of the political party.
Well, Cyril apparently released his slate, but I'll tell you about that just now, who he thinks should be his deputy president and a whole lot of other things. It's time to get to the five things you need to know this morning. It's brought to you by Kolkakios. And I saw Michael from Kolkakios on Saturday in Cape Town. And he's very, very excited about this morning's five things. So are you ready to get going?
Always, Gareth.
All right. The first thing you need to know this morning, there's always one that starts the whole thing. This one dude called James Gubb, who he's an activist trader, and he's very creative. He made trades on the Gupta's Oak Bay shares. And if you plot those trades visually, if you draw a graph of them, it makes a middle finger like this. And he did this especially to the Guptas. You can see it in the trading report. There's a middle finger. He says, I got a 100,000 rand fine from the FSB, the Financial Services Board, for trading 22 shares at various prices in the now delisted Oak Bay. And apparently he says, what I've done is essentially a world first. I used a financial information medium to create a recognizable image. Conceptual art, protest art, indelible graffiti, whatever you want to call it. I gave it a go to highlight the ongoing systematic rape of our country by the Gupta family. The fact that the image was of a clenched fist with a middle finger extended may have offended some, but that was the point. We were asked by Pravin Gordhan to, by all means possible, stand fast in the face of brazen, blatant corruption, which I did in my own way. I literally joined the dots, he says. Isn't that cool? So he gave the middle finger to the Guptas in trading, and he's in trouble for it now. They want to sue him for 100,000 rand. The Financial Services Board are going to fine him 100,000 rand. There's a lot of talk about, in America, the Democrats. They're completely shaken by what's going on at the moment. Turns out that Hillary actively plotted to get Bernie out of the race, and that she was prepared to use any means necessary.
That's so mean, Hillary.
Crooked Hillary. And it's going very badly for the Democrats at the moment, because now the Bernie people are saying, oh, well, you see, this is what we told you, she's crooked. And it's very unfortunate. The whole thing is really ugly. It's put the Democrats even further down in the running. And it looks now that it looks likely that the Democrats are going to lose a lot of support because of this. You know, Bernie people, they thought they were participating in a free and fair process. Clearly not. Texas, there was a church killing. 26 people were killed. About 20 more injured on Sunday. A gunman opened fire during morning services at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs in Texas. Two law enforcement sources who spoke on condition of anonymity said they identified the gunman as Devin Patrick Kelly, who's 26. Pretty horrible. Another story that you need to know about, Botswana. I thought this was funny. This is also in the Sunday Times yesterday. Botswana have lodged an official complaint. Apparently, President Ian was driving down the road in Botswana. He has a modest cavalcade, like three cars with blue lights on them. He's the president of Botswana, three cars. Hmm. Our president has like 26. Apparently, Supra Mahumapelo of Northwest virtually pushed him off the road in his own country to get to the border. He had a cavalcade of like 10 cars, Supra, and he pushed Ian Khama, the president of Botswana, off the road. And now there is an official complaint. Botswana has lodged an official complaint with the South African government after the Northwest Premier pushed him off the road. How's that for a story? And while we're on international stuff, Saudi Arabia has arrested 11 princes, including billionaire Al-Walid bin Talal. It seems that they've arrested all of these people, 11 princes among them, on charges of corruption. So Saudi Arabia looked like they're clamping down and cleaning up. They've also gone after a bunch of clerics who've been out of control for a while. So watch this space. We'll never know. But
sounds maybe, really encouraging.
Maybe Saudi Arabia can change, huh? Wouldn't that be interesting? So there we go.
That would be something.
Those are the things you need to know to start your day today. Over to Ben. Let's go to the sport and see what's happening over there. Ben, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, let's go.
Well, football, mostly taking all the big headlines, but let's start with bitching rugby officials, shall we? The Rugby 2023 World Cup, where World Rugby said, look, South Africa are pretty much the best country to host this. So then Ireland, they kind of responded to Yuri Ru, who made some shitty comments about the fact that everyone should take the moral high ground and it should be SA, which was just a little bit too smug. But now France are ordering a recount or reassessment of how France was not rated higher than South Africa.
Oh yeah?
So things are getting a little bit steamy there. 15th of November is when the final decision will be made, where it'll be South Africa, Ireland, or France.
Uh-oh.
But as I say, World Rugby's already kind of given the vote of confidence towards SA. This is going to be the recommended choice for the host. Well, France, suck a bag of dicks, actually. You've had it so many different times. And, yes, South Africa's hotels, stadiums,
yeah,
and things
have it,
are better.
They had it quite recently.
Yeah.
It's well, the French.
They definitely had it close.
We won it there, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. 2007. Oh. 1995 is the last time we had it, France. Share it, pricks. Football, yeah. So it was the Telkom Knockout Cup here in South Africa. Very exciting cup competition where, well, let's just say no real surprises. Well, there were actually a couple. Well, but is it a surprise when Pirates lose? I'd like to say they're still a strong kind of team in SA Sport, but they're so up and down, these guys. They lost 4-2 in their penalty shootout with Polokwane City after everything ended up 2-2 there. Chiefs, they beat Chipper 1-0, Better Parker slotting a penalty. Wits beat Baraka FC 1-0, and then Platinum Stars, they went down to Bloemfontein. So those teams are now going to go through to the semi-finals, which will then give, well, maybe Wits a chance to maybe win something, because the way the league's gone, the way things have started for them this season, Telkom Knockout could be all they've got. In the Premier League, well, that is where all the action is, eh? All the heat, all the drama. Didn't get much more dramatic than Everton's 3-2 win over Watford. Now, we all know that Everton are down in the dumps right now. Just not really going well for them. Well, Baines, with a 91st minute penalty, managed to seal a tremendous comeback for the team that was 2-1 down. They were 3-2 up. 94th minute, Watford got a penalty. And some guy absolutely fluffed it. He just missed the goals completely. So, Everton fans, finally something to shout about at Goodison Park. What an incredible match that was. Chelsea, they beat Man United 1-0. And Conte refused to shake Mourinho's hand at the end. Now, Mourinho's
bad sportsmanship.
Yeah, Mourinho's... Well, look, I think Mourinho's one of those guys that looks around and goes, I've got enough friends. That's kind of his motto. He doesn't really endear himself to many people, even his own fans at times. So him and Conte have sort of developed a bit of a spat. Of course, Mourinho was the manager of Chelsea for quite some time. He came and he went and he left and he was then thrown out on his ass. Whereas Conte's the new guy there. And in the first season, he won the Premier League title. So those two don't like each other too much, but I'm pretty sure behind closed doors they share an overpriced whiskey. Anyway, it's good theatre. Also good theatre just watching Man City play. Again, 3 goals to the good. They beat Arsenal 3-1. Hmm. Arsenal were never going to win this one. Their fans kind of knew it. And when Gabriel Jesus slotted his goal in the 74th minute, it was well and
truly over. Love that name.
So Man City are well ahead now. I guess they're in the second, but Spurs, they beat Crystal Palace 1-0. Which is a good result for them. And Liverpool, wow, they scored 4 goals. They beat West Ham 4-1. Bournemouth with a nice win over Newcastle. And as for the rest of the matches, well, if I don't tell you about them, you won't be any less off. So let's go into the log, shall we? Because, well, I said it from the beginning, Man City, they were so disappointing last year. Pep Guardiola came through and there was so much expected about this guy, you know, shooting lightning bolts from his arsehole, that kind of stuff. But they didn't win last year. Well, after 11 matches, they're already 8 points clear. They've played 11, they've won 10, they've drawn just 1. They've scored 38 goals. 38, Gareth. You know who the next best is?
Tell me.
Man United. They've scored all of 23.
Wow.
So work that one out in the maths. Okay, I will. 15 more goals. They've scored 15 more goals in second place after 11 matches. Absolutely scintillating stuff. And I'm an Arsenal fan. Look at me. Just right. Trumpeting how good this team is. Right, what else do you want to know? Rugby, I guess. There was, well, it's the big international window now for all the teams go at it in the Northern Hemisphere. So this weekend, started off with Japan hosting Australia, and an absolute thrashing they took, 30-63, they lost that one in Yokohama. And then the All Blacks, they run out for a big money clash against the Barbarians. Of course, the All Blacks will not be playing against England because of financial disputes. I can really confirm that. That's the only reason the two best teams in the world aren't playing each other. But the Barbarians, full of all kinds of different talents, they got it to a handy first half lead against the All Blacks. But then, as to be expected, the composite team sort of fell away towards the end. And New Zealand win that one, 31-22. Quagga Smit, who was the, well, player of the match, really. But Quagga fans, he will not play for the Springboks because Alistair Kassir will not pick a short loose forward. Because you got to have line-out options. It's very one-dimensional, but that's just the reality, unfortunately. So don't get your hopes up. That's it pretty much for... Oh, wait, there was lots of golf, of course. Justin Rose made it back-to-back triumphs on the European Tour. He won the Turkish Airlines Open, which is really good for him. Dylan Fratelli is a South African player who's really come of age this year. He finished second. And for finishing second, Gareth, he won 8.5 million rand.
Yeah. That's quite a lot of money.
I'm happy for him.
That's not bad.
But at the same time...
It's a nice payday, Ben.
8.5 million rand.
Oh.
He chipped in three times in five holes. He shot a 64 on Sunday, so good on him. All done. And then Patrick Cantlay. Watch out for this name. This guy's had some issues, but he is going to be one of America's top players. He really will. He may even be in the Ryder Cup next year. He won the Shriners Hospital for Children Open. In the
that's
US
a terrible title
US
for,
Open
a,
for
the
US
golf
tour.
Tournament.
Well, that's it, Gareth, and he won. So good for him.
Something Hospital for Children?
Yeah, Shriners. Yeah. I think Justin Timberlake used to host this tournament. And then, I don't know.
Okay.
Contract ran out. But this weekend, what everyone's excited about, it is the Nedbank Golf Challenge at the Mr. Gary Player Country Club here in South Africa. It is Africa's major. It's a chance to see Gary on TV more than any other time during the year.
How exciting for you.
And we all had the festivities of his birthday last week, and now we get to see him in the flesh on this great tournament. He is the tournament host. It's an amazing tournament. And it is part of the Rolex series, which is the part of the race to Dubai. It's just huge. I'll just tell you that. It's just huge. So it'll start on Thursday. And I'll be giving you probably a little bit too much coverage of that. But you will totally indulge me in this one.
Well, Gary Player is all over an ad that Sia tells me is on Supersport. Is that for
every,
this thing?
Every 5 minutes. And for the ad, on his hat, he just put Player.
Oh.
You know, he have like certain
in case
sponsors.
We didn't know who he was.
Gary's like, screw this, this ad's going to air all day. I'm just going to put my name huge on the side of the hat.
Jeez. All right, it's time for us to turn our attention to Anthea. It is the Money Shot, which we look at once a week on a Monday. And when there are important things going on, then Anthea pops in to tell us a little bit more. But today, we have plenty to talk about, do we not? All right, let's go straight to it. Anthea, you want your song? You can't start without your song. You look so disappointed. You thought I was going to go in without your song?
Why say we let such a letter? Anthea got a touch a letter. Anthea, why say we let such a letter? Umutware hante. Anthea, why say we let such a letter? Anthea got a touch a letter. Anthea, why say we let such a letter? Umutware hante. Anthea.
Now I'm ready.
All right, let's go. How are you, first of all?
Good morning. Yes, I'm well, thank you.
Good.
Very good. A bit sunburnt this weekend.
Where did you go?
I was in Waterfallboven, which is up near Nelspruit somewhere.
What were you doing there?
Mountain biking.
Oh, you see?
Running.
Adventure.
Rock climbing.
Sure, look at you.
With lots of sun.
You live a very balanced life. I mean, you play as hard as you work.
I try.
Yeah.
She tries. All right, let's start with the Rand, please.
Oh, because let's talk about October, right? So in October, the Rand lost 4%. Although I just want to say that at the beginning of October, the Rand actually did strengthen. And then, of course, the budget was in October. And pre-budget, the Rand was 13.26. On Friday, let's call it Friday, the Rand traded at 14.21. So that's almost a full Rand we lost between budget and end of the month. I mean, thank goodness, though, because, well, not thank goodness, but there's an upside to it, I should say. The All Share Index, which is our kind of benchmark index for the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, was up 5.7% in October.
So that's good.
How glad are you now that you're invested? Our fund, I think we did over 6%, actually.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Most of that, though, was driven by the Rand Hedge shares again, obviously. Naspers was up 16% for the month. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And considering it makes up, 20% of our market, that means out of the 5.7%, Naspers alone put through 3.2%. The rest of the market really just lagging, quite frankly.
What do you predict the Rand is going to do in the next month?
Oh, your guess is as good as mine, right? Currency trading is the most volatile, the most difficult to predict. I mean, I have a view that it will weaken a bit more. That's my view. And I think there's a lot going on politically. And sometimes the market tends to ignore what's going on in politics. But I think where we are now, you actually can't ignore it. And I think the foreigners...
Well, that's all this country has right now, Anthea.
It's politics, right?
It's politics.
We don't have economic growth. No. So yeah, that's all we can focus on. So I'm afraid I think the rand is going to weaken. I think foreigners are getting a bit fed up with what's going on. You know, there's no growth. There's no plan for growth. There's big deficits in the budget. They don't like this. And I'm a little bit worried on the 24th, which is in 18 days' time, that we're going to get downgraded. Don't forget, we've still got that hanging over our heads. And if that happens, well, then the currency is definitely going to weaken. And you know how the market works, right? We work forward. So we always plan ahead. And people like me are thinking that if we get downgraded, we're already planning for weaker currency. So actually, I'm not a huge rand trader. I sometimes put on hedges, but the currency traders are probably trading towards a weaker rand. So that's why I think the rand is going to weaken.
Okay.
But before we move on, just Naspers bought, you know, they own an advertising business called OLX, and they bought, I have to tell you, Auto Trader. They're buddies of yours, eh?
I know.
Yeah.
I sent George Meany congratulations. In fact, I think they're on today at 9 o'clock.
Oh.
10 o'clock. And they will be they'll be doing the Auto Central show, but now they are in a merger with OLX.
They're a Naspers company.
Yeah.
Now. I think that's fantastic. I don't know what OLX paid for it, but yeah, very excited.
We should see what George drives in on today.
when George
rolls in a plush suit.
I think George is coming in in a helicopter today. I think he had a very good payday last week.
George shall be teleporting himself to studio.
No. But there we go. Good for them. I like them. I'm very happy for them.
Before we move on, can I just talk a little bit about currencies? Because I noticed something last week, and you know I don't often talk about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But in Zimbabwe, Bitcoin is now trading at $10,000 per coin, as opposed to the rest of the world where it's trading, what, I think 6,700 or 7,000?
Are you really?
Yes. So it looks like Zimbabweans have now taken on Bitcoin as their currency because the Zim dollar is rubbish. The US dollar, it's hard to get hold of. And so now they're trading Bitcoins. And there's a nice little arbitrage if anyone cares to do it. You can buy Bitcoin at $7,000 and sell it in Zim for $10,000.
But why don't Zim just buy Bitcoins like the rest of the world does online?
We don't have money.
but surely a Bitcoin's a Bitcoin, and surely if you're selling it online, you can't charge.
Yes, they can.
Who?
It's only online. You can't take a Bitcoin over the Limpopo border.
But you can arbitrage it across exchanges, right? So like Naspers, or let's think about Steinhoff, is listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. And
at different prices?
Slightly different prices. Obviously, the one's in rand and the other one is in euros. But at some stage, there is an arbitrage opportunity. So you can swap. How did you get your Bitcoin? Vinny Lingham gave you a Bitcoin. How did he give it to you?
He sent it
to you through a wallet.
Yeah.
Right? No, and you didn't pay for it. But in this instance, you could pay for it.
Yeah.
So Zimbabweans are paying a lot more for it. And I think it's...
When will these guys catch a break?
I know, right? Shame.
Shame, they can't even buy... Bitcoin's meant to be one price for everyone.
Mm-mm. No. And I think the other thing is that mining Bitcoin is very electricity intensive, right? The usage of electricity. And so you can't just go and mine. So they're actually trying to buy on a different exchange.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, I bought some the other day. I've cashed out nicely, thank you.
Taken profits.
Anthea, you were just talking about dollars being hard to come by. I was thinking about it because I was up in Africa recently. Well, higher Africa. Obviously, we live in Africa. is it like, for the US, all the dollars that are in other countries as like official tender, basically, is that costly to their economy? Because think, if they've got to make notes, but then their notes aren't actually theirs, they get taken away.
I'm not sure how using US dollars outside of the US works. I know that in South Africa, if you hold foreign currency, foreign tender, it's actually illegal. So you're only allowed to have foreign currency when you're about to travel, I think a month or two before you leave the country, and you're only allowed to hold it for, I think it is 2 months when you return. So you're, the idea is that you're always putting it back into the central bank and the central bank controls it.
Sure, but I mean, I was in Kigali paying with dollars at a supermarket.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So I don't know how that works.
But it's like all over. I mean, if you watch Narcos, they were always paying for drugs in dollars. And they were always having like bags of dollars.
Yeah. So definitely expensive for the country.
So like so much of their money is elsewhere.
Yeah.
Mm. Very, very peculiar situation. I'm not sure exactly how it works. I don't think it's legal, I'll tell you that.
Right. Make US dollars American again. That's the next thing, we'll see.
All right, shall we move on then? Because there's lots of news. So a little bit of macro news. First of all, some good news. Our South African trade surplus eased to $4 billion. I mean, it's slightly lower than we expected from $6 billion. But at least we have a trade surplus. Exports fell by 1.6% in September, and imports rose, which gave us the nice trade surplus as opposed to the trade deficit. That's the first thing. And then some bad news, I'm afraid. The South African unemployment rate came in, and it remained unchanged at 27.7%. So we now have 6.2 million people without jobs in South Africa. We did create 92,000 jobs, but we lost 113,000. And I'm afraid the expanded definition of unemployment is now at 36.8%. Over a third
of our population
is unemployed.
Not good.
No, it's shocking. I think this is South Africa's biggest, well, and then there's corruption and. But economically, I think this is one of the biggest problems. I really think that it's a boiling pot and just waiting to explode. There's no way that you can run a country, a happy country, with so many people unemployed, living below the breadline, and think that things are going to be okay and calm. I mean, I think at some stage there might be a little bit of a revolt.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I've got two emails. I sent them on to you last night from people who want to know about tax. We'll get to that later on. But U.S. non-farm payrolls, talking about jobs and unemployment.
Because that came out on Friday, increased. So the U.S. created 261,000 jobs last month. We were expecting 310. Don't forget, the month before, they actually lost jobs because of the two hurricanes they had. It was a bit disappointing, I'll tell you that. We were expecting more jobs. The unemployment rate is now near a 17-year low in the U.S., 4.1%. So not terrible, right? The problem, again, is that hourly earnings have slipped by one cent, which is basically unchanged in percentage terms, but the market not loving this number. I think, in my opinion, and I don't often speculate, but it looks to me like this job cycle or this kind of continued creation of jobs in the U.S. is coming to an end. So their run is coming to an end. I'd love to see what Trump's going to say about this, because I think they've got a couple more months of job creation and then they'll start losing again. I mean, it depends on how obviously they manage their economy, but I can't imagine that they go much lower than 4.1% unemployment rate. And then just the last macro news. The Bank of England raised interest rates on Thursday for the first time since the summer of 2007. They effectively doubled their bank repo rate from 25 basis points, so a quarter of a percent, to half a percent. So 10 years of very, very low mortgage payments have suddenly doubled in the UK.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're still okay, though, because the Bank of England was saying that they're probably not going to raise interest rates that quickly. They're kind of stuck between inflation higher than they wanted. So they're aiming for 2% inflation. They're about 3.1% at the moment. And growth not as good as it used to be. So 1.7% GDP growth per annum. And they're used to around 2.5%, you know, kind of this post. They call it post-World War growth number. So the Bank of England, a little bit nervous, but they felt it was time to raise interest rates anyway.
Okay. And then in the U.S., we've got more company news.
not more, lots, and not just lots of company news, the big ones, right? So we had Facebook. I mean, I'm just going to touch on them, right?
Okay,
there's a lot of detail here. So Facebook revenue rose by, wait for it, 49%.
Amazing.
Why, like this, why don't I own that company? Most of it really video advertising. So they were talking a lot about that, both Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg saying that they weren't expecting video advertising growth to be that large. And they feel like they're getting to the limit of how much video advertising they can put on. But she was saying, I think, if I remember the number correctly, that 79% of 15-second videos on Facebook get watched to the end and mostly with sound on. I find that amazing. I never watch a Facebook video, adverts. Like, never.
Okay. Neither do I.
Skip. And if it does come on, I just go to the next.
Yeah.
But Anthea, how many times has Facebook lied to us, though?
A lot.
Mark Zuckerberg was saying, okay, maybe it wasn't him lying, about the Russian scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a huge issue about all of that. And there's like lots of controversy, basically.
Them and Twitter and Google.
Yep.
What happened on Google? I don't know.
Also, fake news.
Advertising.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. So for the third quarter, Facebook made in revenue $10.14 billion. That's just
wow.
Unbelievable.
So what has that done to the share price?
Initially, I know after market, because they report after market, it was down about 1%, but then the next day it was up again 2%.
Okay.
Yeah, so no, they're doing just fine. One of the other companies that are reported, which we own a tiny share in because they're owned by, nice pest, tiny, tiny share, Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
They reported, unfortunately, a loss because they've spent quite heavily on the ramp-up of this Model 3 that they released last year. They made a loss of $619.4 million.
Hmm.
Compare that to the net income of about $22 million. So big gap there. But the company said they are still sitting on a cash balance of $3.5 billion, not million, dollars.
Wow.
And they're expecting to spend on capital expenditure for the Model 3 ramp-up of production coming up now, $1 billion in the next quarter. These numbers are just almost ridiculous, actually. And I see that they finally are releasing the Tesla truck on the 16th of November, so next week. Yeah.
Is this something people are looking forward to?
I think
the
so,
The Tesla
yes.
truck?
Yeah, I think so. Well, there's a lot of talk about it at the moment on the internet, and from a company or an analyst perspective, not so much. I'm kind of like, oh, yes, that's all fun and exciting, but is it going to generate revenue? Because not even the Model 3 really is, right? So I think people who like that kind of thing, yes.
All right.
Ask George Meany. He'll know, right?
I'll ask George.
Yeah.
MasterCard?
Yes, so they also reported quarterly earnings. I mean, it is reporting season. They generated revenue of $3.4 billion. These numbers are staggering.
It is incredible.
18% year on year. It's just incredible. Net income rose 21% year on year. So they are just making absolutely huge profits. And not only that, but it's about the third quarter in a row that these companies are beating expectations. These U.S. companies, so you know how it works, right? We all go, this is the company, we know how much money they made last quarter and all the quarters before that, and so we're going to predict what they're going to make next quarter. And they just keep beating expectations. Even though we raise our expectations in accordance with what's happened in the past, unbelievable. I think it's something like, at the moment, 78% of companies in the U.S. have beat expectations consistently for the last almost a year.
Wow.
So that economy is doing fantastically well. At least those companies are doing exceptionally well.
Pfizer, the guys who make the Viagra.
Oh, that's their claim to fame.
That's all they do.
Well, they also do the Prevnar vaccine, which is a big one for them, if anyone cares. It accounted for 11.5% of revenue. No one cares. Moving on then.
Viagra.
They grew revenue by just 1%, unfortunately, in the quarter. So not that great. But again, staggering numbers, $13.17 billion, pretty much in line with what the market thought. Net income, though, they managed to double to $2.8 billion. So great that they're making, I mean, decent number on the revenue, but exceptional number on the profit, you know.
Right.
So maintaining costs very well.
Okay, the biggie, Apple.
Yeah, talk about the biggie. Do you want to guess how much money they made in one quarter, in 3 months, in revenue?
Billions and billions. And billions.
Spot on. In fact, 52 billions.
Wow.
And
billions. My goodness.
Not only that, but can I just say that this is the Christmas season coming up, right? So the next quarter, they're expecting to make $84 billion for 3 months of trading. They love Christmas. These guys love Christmas. So, pretty much in line with expectations, all categories of product except for the iPad recorded a year-on-year sequential growth, so continued growth. iPad, I'm afraid, sales fell by 10% quarter-on-quarter, so the iPad kind of falling out of favor at the moment. Macs were exceptional, revenue up 25% year-on-year, but that's also because they've got back to school. They had back to school in September, and I think that just drove kind of computer sales for them. Also, services up hugely. And then they're all very excited about the iPhone 10, which I keep wanting to call the iPhone X.
Yeah.
Mm. Follow what you want, Anthony. None of us are going to get it.
No one cares. At $1,000. Why not, Ben? Cheap at the price, no?
Yeah, but it's more expensive here and Zimbabwe.
What do you mean? How much is it here?
It'll be
20-something thousand?
26,000 rand or something.
It's been equated to half a kidney. Yeah. In the third world, you always quote vital organs.
How can our tax be 100%? Our tax is surely not 100% on technology. The currency, I just told you, is 14.21 at $1,000.
Yes, but people put their own margins in.
And then Zuckerberg will take money
business.
As well somehow.
What is Zuckerberg? No. Zuckerberg has nothing to do with F.
Yeah, nice story, buddy. You'll find a way.
You really hate him.
Anyway, forget the iPhone X or 10, whatever you want to call it. Apparently, Tim Cook says the iPhone 8 is by far the most popular iPhone to date.
Yeah, you know what the guy who started Apple with Steve Jobs said? It's basically exactly the same as the iPhone 6. But no one talks to him anymore. He eats a sandwich in the car park.
Look, he's probably not lying. So hang on. Apple released the iPhone 8 and the 10 at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, slick.
And then forgot them. That really annoys me that they forgot the 9.
Yeah, there isn't a 9.
So irritating.
Forget about it. All right. Just quickly, there are a couple of questions people asked, and we've got a minute or two to address them. So someone sent an email in about a tax in South Africa.
Okay.
And how it works.
So, Gareth, I am no tax expert, but I know that he's asking about registering his company in a lower tax generating or lower tax country. And, of course, we spoke about Mauritius, which is 5%, 3%, sorry, Monaco, which is 5%. I don't think you can generate revenue in South Africa and pay tax somewhere else. It's called tax evasion. But if you are a global company and you are generating revenue from around the globe, then I don't see a problem. And we did have Gordon Stewart in here a while ago, or on the phone, right? He phoned us from Mauritius and gave us a little bit of an update. And I don't know where that podcast is. Maybe we should get him back in.
It would be a good idea to bring him in anyway.
Yeah. I'll message
especially
him.
Especially now that there's change afoot.
Oh, and he's got a lot to say. And so I'll message him today and ask him to come on and call in again and
that's
give
great.
Us a little update on how to start a company in Mauritius. He's the guy we use. Very good. Very good guy. But I'm no tax expert, not by any stretch of the imagination.
All right. Anything else you want to address before we close it up?
And there was one other email. They want to know what we recommend for Long for Life. It's so annoying because the share has gone, it listed, we're at 4 rand, I think, somewhere around there. Went all the way to 6.75 and has come back to 4.99 last time I checked last week. And I've held it all the way through. They've done 3 deals already, Sorbet, Hold Sport, and then another one. I like this company. I mean, if you look at the valuation, it's probably on about 4.25, like from how much cash they've got compared to the companies they bought, etc. But I think Brian Joffe probably has lots of plans afoot, and he's managed to build it from what he started on a 2 billion rand company. It's now 5 or 6 billion rand, like in a very short space of time. So I'm just going to hold on to my shares a bit longer, even though I'm really annoyed at what's happened to the share price.
Cool.
Okay.
Right, Anthea, sounds good. It's a lot for us to chew on in the meantime.
That's a lot. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Anthea Gardner and a look at your money. When we come back, it'll be time for Said by Sia, so stick around for that one. That's next.
CliffCentral.com